Oh man, it's great to be here. This is such an honor and a privilege. For those of you who don't know me, I am the son of Mike and Wendy Tellup. And this is like my home base for a long time. There's a lot of sweat and blood in this place. It's great. A lot of good memories. And so, it's great to be back. And thank you for having me. This is such a privilege. So I really do appreciate it. And I'm excited to speak to you tonight. Yes, the Lord has given me a word. It's called, it's uncomfortable, but it's okay. And I know what you're thinking. I really miss the Super Bowl to come and talk about being uncomfortable. This is great. But no, we're going to dive in. It's uncomfortable, but it's okay. Does anybody here like discomfort? Anybody actively? Oh, we got one guy. All right. Okay. But for the most part, we're all pretty normal here tonight. We're not overly big fans of discomfort. Neither am I. Funny enough, there's a YouTube channel out there, and their slogan is "Seek discomfort." And so, I think we can all agree that not all discomfort is bad. That discomfort really isn't even a thing; it's a message. Now, your brain's telling you, "Hey, this doesn't feel right, or it doesn't look right. It's uncomfortable here." And then you've got to discern from there. Okay, is this something I'm dealing with? I'm enduring. Let's say you go to the gym. For all of you who go to the gym, I can't say I'm with you on that one, but God bless you who do. And you're not going to the gym to just have fun or socialize. I mean, maybe you are. But I think some gyms are like that. It's a social party. But, you know, generally speaking, you are going to exercise. And exercise is anything but comfortable. It's pushing your muscles to their very limits. It's doing Pilates, so you just can't do them anymore, right? And it's sweaty, and it's stinky, and it's gross, and it's not comfortable. But you've got a purpose, right? You're going to the gym for those buns of steel, you know? Hallelujah. You're going to evict Tammy the talking tummy. You've got to get rid of her. And so that's your purpose. It's worth enduring the pain. It's worth enduring the sweat. You go for a reason. It's uncomfortable, but it's good. And I mean, if you were to go home tonight and you were to hop in your bed and a spring were to stick in your back, there's probably not a lot you're going to gain from enduring that other than a sore back and a bad sleep. You know, that's the kind of discomfort you want to act on. You want to say, okay, I need a new bed and I'm not going to endure this. I'm not going to get any stronger, you know. And so we've got different kinds of discomfort and we've got to discern, all right, what's worth fighting for, what's worth not fighting for. And discomfort, it can bring something out of us, right? You know, I don't know if you've ever seen an old person and thought, wow, they're just so precious, you know? And then maybe that same old person is walking and a car goes by and splashes them. And, you know, maybe some not so precious things come out of their mouth. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, maybe you're not so precious anymore, you know? Didn't think that would come out. You know, discomfort can kind of show our true colors. And it can showcase some things maybe that we don't want to see. But what happens when you're faced with discomfort? Are you a fighter? Are you a flighter? I think we've often heard the saying, fight or flight. Some people, you know, just put the horns down, bring it on. And other people, you know, shields go up. I'm not getting hurt again. I'm just going to hide in my box until the discomfort is gone. And there's a guy in the Bible named Moses. You might have heard of him. And he was given a mission from God that was pretty uncomfortable. If you don't know Moses, he was born, I'm going to grab some water, in a pretty crummy time. The Hebrews were undergoing some great persecution. And to save his life, his mom made a little basket and floated him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter happened to pick him up. And she was a lot nicer than Pharaoh, so she adopted him. So Moses became a king's kid. He got adopted into the kingdom. And that would have probably been a good life, you know. Good food, good entertainment, good body, you know. All this stuff's happening. But Moses got curious. He grew up. He got curious. And he went to meet his people. And I think Moses was kind of like a vigilante. You know, he went out there. He saw an Egyptian beaten on one of the Hebrews. And so he thought, I'm just going to kill him. I'll just get rid of the problem. So he killed him and buried him in the sand and went home to his roast beef dinner that night. And a little while later, he got curious again. I got to go see my boys, the Hebrews. So he goes out And he sees a couple Hebrews fighting with each other and says, boys, we're all on the same team. And he got an answer he didn't want to hear. Are you just going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Well, Moses was scared after he heard that because the news was out. And Pharaoh found out, and Pharaoh was after Moses to kill him. So Moses fled to Midian, I think. Am I right about that? Midian? Pretty sure I'm right about that. So he fled. And, you know, Moses made a life for himself, actually. I think it got a little better. I'm sure that was rough, and I'm sure he missed part of Egypt, but he got a wife, he got kids, they lived in the desert, you know. 40 years went by. Egypt was long gone. It was past. I think Moses was finally looking ahead. He was probably teaching his kids how to milk goats and crack eggs and, you know. And but then God just had to show up, you know, in the old burning bush. And if I saw a burning bush that wasn't actually burning, I'd be pretty interested. And so Moses went and looked, and that changed the course of his whole life. God gave him a mission that was incredibly uncomfortable. God said, it's time to go back to Egypt, to your trauma, to your pain, to everything you were afraid of. It's time to go back. And you know, you'd think that in a moment like that, seeing a burning bush, you're talking to God himself. He's like, take your shoes off. It's holy ground. You'd think that'd be the moment where you're cross-legged and you're listening and like, it's all good. But Moses was so uncomfortable. Five times he told God why he shouldn't, he couldn't, he wouldn't go back to Egypt. Man, that was a really uncomfortable place for him. And you know something? He was being pretty real with God, if I was being honest. I mean, I think it's okay to be real with God. If we can look at that for a minute. In fact, I think God wants us to be real with him. He wants us to be honest with him. Did you know that God can handle your hissy fit? He can handle you in the shower saying, I don't like you anymore, God. You're stupid, stupid, stupid. He can handle that. And it's okay. And it's good. Get it out. Call God stupid. See what's going to happen. Don't worry, lightning bolts won't come down. Okay, it's okay. I've had those moments when I was real with God. And it was all raging up in my head, but I was real quiet on the outside. But where do we go from that moment when we're real with God? That's what counts. I want to look at Matthew 21, 28 to 31. It's on the screen, or you can open up your Bible. I brought my Bible tonight. You know, praise God. Bible's changed. But it hasn't changed. Anyways, Matthew 21, 28 to 31. But what do you think about this? A man with two sons told the older boy, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. The son answered, no, I won't go. But later he changed his mind and went anyway. Then the father told the older son, you go. And he said, yes, sir, I will. But he didn't. Which of the two obeyed his father? They replied, the first. The first, the little punk. You know, when I tell my kids to do something, I expect them to do it. And I get ticked off when they don't. Especially if they give me lip. And you know, that was the righteous son. The son that gave his father some lip. That was kind of real with his dad. You know, hey son, go work in the vineyard. Not a chance, Pop. See you later. Screw you. That was the righteous one. And the other one was kind of a weasel, wasn't he? Yeah, Daddy, I'll do it. I'll do anything for you, Daddy. And then he just went and did his thing. You know, I feel like the older, or that first son was probably walking to Sunday school, memorizing his memory verses. And he probably came up to Exodus 21:17. If any man or woman dishonors his mother or father, they shall be put to death. He probably ran right back home. Oh, Daddy, I'm going to do the field, I promise. It's okay to be real with God. We need to be real with God. Moses was real with God. But God wasn't relenting. God had a mission for Moses. The gifts and the calls of the Lord are irrevocable, says Paul. And Moses came to a crossroads. He was either going to be obedient or disobedient. And you have to be real with God, but you have to go somewhere after you're real with him. You can have your hissy fit. You can be real with him. You need to be. But where are you going after? Moses obeyed the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you know something? Moses learned how to commune with God. God was straight up with Moses. It's not going to be easy. you're going to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, and he's not going to do it, so I'm going to give you all these miracles, throw your staff on the floor, look, it's a snake, you know. And Moses, when he came up to these places, even though he had like the full itinerary of what God was going to do, wouldn't you like that? You know, God just gives you the itinerary. By the way, in year one, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. I pray all the time for the itinerary, and God just says, listen, I gave you a word, that's enough. Just keep walking. But Moses had the itinerary, but even with the itinerary, what Moses was doing was crazy, man. Crazy. Come on. You just went back to Egypt, where you killed a guy, where probably some people know, hey, that guy's got a history. And then you're going to walk up to the king and say, so all the slaves you've got, can you just let them go? That's a crazy mission. But Moses learned to go back to God when it got crazy, when it got overwhelming. When Pharaoh said no, and it was like, oh shoot, what do I do now? Moses went back to God. He learned how to commune with God. He learned how to get to know where his help came from. He learned how to know where his comfort was. So when he was faced with the uncomfortable, he knew what to do. And you know, something that's uncomfortable for us, especially us dudes, is communication. Come on now. You know it. And let's just get practical. I'm not just talking about communicating with God. I mean communicating with yourself. Gentlemen, we are terrible at this. Just be honest. When we have an emotion, we say, maybe later. And then we get back to what we're doing. Nobody wants to deal with it. You know, everybody thinks that guys, you know, are afraid to cry. We're not afraid to cry. We just don't like to cry. I don't like to cry. If there's a movie and I'm emotional about the movie, I'm doing everything not to let my wife see me cry. Because I just don't want the attention. Yes, it's emotional, I'm feeling it, but don't look at me right now. I'm in my spot, just don't look at me. I don't want to cry. And you know, it's against the grain for us gentlemen, maybe to go about our emotions, but it's necessary. It's necessary to think, okay, what am I feeling right now? Just to take a break and say, why am I feeling down? Why am I feeling mad? And to communicate with yourself. Okay, maybe this happened today. Maybe that happened. You know, I'm kind of dealing with this. And sort it out in your head. Because if you push it to the side, guess what? It's not going anywhere. It's like sweeping dirt under the rug. It's still there. Amen. We got to communicate with ourselves. Ladies, you got to do the same. You just might have to get the emotions under control because you got 10,000 emotions coming to you and you're like happy, sad, mad, fearful. You got to let the dust settle a little bit. You know, guys, we can only take one emotion at a time. Mad. Okay, let's go. I'm ticked. But we got to talk to ourselves, as funny as it sounds. We got to learn how to communicate with ourselves, because when I communicate with myself, now I can communicate better to someone else. Hey, I figured it out. I'm upset today. Kids, I'm upset. So if you see me cranky, now you know why. Guess what? I just saved a whole bunch of trauma and drama. Because now when I walk into the house and I'm all, you know, and I'm just slamming stuff down, the kids aren't like, what the heck is his problem? What did I do? They know, oh, Dad's having a hard day. Ah, he'll get over it. Because I communicated with myself and then I communicated with the people around me, I just saved a whole bunch of discomfort that wasn't needed. That's more just traumatic than anything. But it's uncomfortable. Let's go to marriage. I mean, who likes to sit down and talk in marriage? Sometimes it gets awkward. Sometimes it's like, man, I just don't want to have this conversation again. We had this conversation 100 times. But you got to have it, because you just sort it out. Stuff doesn't always happen the first time around. Sometimes you got to think on something. Isn't it called ruminating when a cow like eats grass? They ruminate or something. They go into one stomach, they barf it up back into the mouth, they swallow it into another stomach. Sometimes it takes a while to digest, and it's uncomfortable. I don't want to think about this. I don't want to talk to you about this. I'm mad at you. I don't want to talk to you. But we got to go there. I know this is super practical, but if I can't do it in the natural, then how am I going to do it in the spiritual?